Hi.
Hello, how's it going?
Doing good, Bharat. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you.
Firstly, thank you very much for coming to my show.
Yeah, no problem.
So I've gone through a profile. I can see you're doing multiple works, multiple roles. So I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, right now, mostly what I do is consulting. So I work for a consulting company here in Ohio in the United States. Mostly working at the moment with like government and financial clients, just helping them with their Azure platforms and their software development processes. But over the course of my career, I am almost 20 years in tech professionally now. I've worked for pretty much every kind of company, pretty much every size of company, from small startups and education space to, large multinational banks and things like that. So I've pretty much done it all, mostly in the Microsoft space, but I've done a little bit of JavaScript and some other stuff as well.
So, working for 20 years in technology, how is that?
It's been a lot of fun. It's changed a lot, since I first started. When I got my first professional job, in my mid-30s after I graduated from school, I was the only .NET developer on my team for a regional bank here in Ohio, and my manager wasn't a development professional. He come from the business side of things, and he handed me this book on .NET programming and said, "Go to work." And so it was a little bit of a difficult start. It was the early days of the internet. There wasn't a lot of resources. Things like Stack Overflow didn't exist back then, or it was just barely getting started, something like that. So it was a little bit of a struggle my first time, or my first few months. But after I got settled into things, it's gone pretty well. And it's amazing to me the changes over the last 20 years, just in terms of the culture and the technologies and how fast things move and how much there is available to developers these days, as far as resources, with blogs and videos and just all kinds of resources that are out there that weren't there, 20 years ago when I got started. It's so much nicer these days, and I think that's a tremendous improvement. So.
So how is present role? You are an Azure Solutions Architect.
I'm sorry, what was that?
How is the present role as a Azure Solutions Architect?
It every position has its own challenges. As part of what I'm doing, I spend a lot of time kind of helping to figure out how things should work, as well as doing some hands-on and working with the client and helping them to figure out solutions and also trying to understand the solutions that they want. So there's a lot of give and take. There's a lot of balancing between what I think should be and what they think should be. So it's a very much a kind of a juggling act, going back and forth and trying to find that happy medium in the middle. So it's a lot more client focused than someone who's doing development full time would be doing. So
But you started your career as a developer.
yeah, I did full time development for a few years, and then I kind of got into like leadership positions as well. So I spent Before my current position, I spent the last 8 years or so as manager. So I was doing a lot of management work as well as development work. So it's kind of like 50-50 for both of my previous positions. I've had a pretty good mix, I think.
So what do you like more?
I mean, each has its, good points and its bad points. As a manager, you don't spend as much time developing during the day, so you're more interested in doing hands-on coding at night, your personal projects, things like that. But when I was doing development full time, I found it very easily to get near the edge of burnout, as get tired of coding. I do coding 40, 50, 60 hours a week. I don't want to do it beyond that in my personal time. But there's pluses and minuses to both. It's just a matter of preference, I guess.
So what kind of projects you have worked for?
Oh man, I've done about everything. I've done web apps, I've done back-end applications, I've done database projects, I've done a little bit of mobile. I haven't done a whole lot of mobile development. That's the one area where I haven't spent very much time. But I've done just about everything else.
So for which industries?
Wow. So like I say, right now it's a lot of government work, a lot of financial stuff, but I've also worked for education startups. I've worked for banks. I've worked for insurance companies. I've worked for what else have I done? I've done some retail. I've done a lot of retail stuff as well, helping with sales platforms. So I've kind of been all over the place.
So how is working? Yeah, go on.
So I was just going to say it's been a good variety, and I actually enjoy that because I don't want to be doing the same thing constantly. You know, I know somebody who, like, for instance, when I worked at a bank, you know, there's somebody had been one of their database developers. She'd been there for like 18 years doing nothing but back end SQL development. I would get tired of that after, you know, 3 or 4 years probably. So I like to have a good variety. I like to be able to do different projects, you know, and have that change up. So.
When you become Microsoft most valuable professional?
Only a year now. So it's been, it hasn't even been a whole year because it was last January when I was picked. So it wasn't something that I was really pursuing a whole lot. You know, I started getting into some things the last 2 or 3, 4 years, you know, getting involved in the community, speaking, doing a lot of blogging, doing a lot of videos, doing a lot of, you know, participating in conferences and mentoring, cross training, things like that. And I hadn't even really thought about that. And, you know, one of my managers at the time suggested it to me. And then I had a couple other people in the community say, hey, you know, if you're interested in that, we'll submit you for it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. Why not? But like I said, it wasn't something I was pursuing or even really thinking about it. I was just doing what I was doing. And, you know, it thankfully just happened to come along and had the right opportunity at the right time. And they picked me, so it was good.
What are your technology skills?
Wow. I mean, like I said, mostly been in the Microsoft stack, so I've done a lot of development in C#. I've done a little bit of VB.net, a whole lot of SQL Server, so I know a lot of SQL. I've done a lot of JavaScript off and on over the years. You know, as far as like the MVP stuff, I've done a lot of the Power Platform stuff, so Power Automate, Power Apps. So I've been doing a lot of that the last couple of years, a whole lot of the Azure platform stuff. So Data Factory, you know, setting up web apps, things like that. So it's kind of all over the place. I guess I kind of consider myself a generalist more than a specialist. I don't really focus too much on one particular thing.
So you wrote a book. You're an author.
No, I have not.
I was thinking because you have huge experience.
You know, it's something somebody actually suggested it to me last year, but I'm like, I don't know if that's something I want to pursue. It's a lot of effort. And, you know, especially in the technology space that, you know, there's not a lot of financial incentive, if I put it that way, in the technology space to be an author. I know people who, and I probably wouldn't do it for that if I decided to do it, you know, it's just that. With all the other stuff that I'm doing, I just don't feel like I've got the time to really focus on bringing something like that all the way from one end to completion.
So how you are enjoying now as a solutions architect, talking with different business leaders about how to solve their problems?
I like it a lot. I like being involved. I like talking to the people and trying to help them find the solution that works for them. You know, obviously when you're dealing with people, sometimes it's a struggle because they don't always want to listen to what you have to hear. They have their own attitudes, their own opinions, their own ideas of what something should be done or the way something should be done. So it doesn't always work. I guess not that, how do I want to phrase that? It doesn't always go smoothly, I guess is the best way to put it. There's a lot of, there has to be a lot of give and take and you have to have a lot of patience, I guess, when you're dealing with people. But overall, I enjoy it a lot. I like helping people solve problems.
You're working for financial thing and you worked for education thing and you worked for different domains. So how you are able to adapt to different industries, projects?
That's probably the biggest struggle is before you can really help somebody, you have to understand where they're coming from. So it takes a lot of ramp up time trying to understand, you know, their background, their space that they're working in, what their needs are. And before you can help them to find a solution, you have to be able to understand where it is that they're coming from. So that's always the biggest struggle when you're going into an area that you're not familiar with, is you have to spend that time to come to understand what their business needs actually are. Because, you know, one solution does not fit all, despite how often people tried to come up with a one solution fixes everything. It just doesn't work. You have to customize it for what their needs are.
So in 20 years, you did development and also you are people's person. You are you did management role. Now you are being an architect and directly interacting with clients. So how do you define yourself as a communicator who is communicating with machine and people?
Yeah, and that's really the struggle, especially in the technology space. I feel like I do a pretty good job of communicating with people and helping them to come back and forth. But in the technology space in general, communication skills are an area that we vastly lack. Most developers are not great communicators. You know, we're great at writing code, or we're great at sitting at a keyboard and typing stuff out and coming up with technical solutions. But when it comes time to talk to the client, to talk to the business side, whatever it might be, to help people understand what it is that we're doing, or for us to understand what it is that their actual need is so that we can come up with a solution, that's an area that we struggle with greatly, I think. And that's one of the realizations that I've really come to over the past 20 years, is we're not good communicators as an industry. And it's something that I think we really need to put a lot more focus into in the development community, is being able to communicate effectively. And that's actually something that I've kind of been speaking on at a couple of conferences the last couple of years. And I'm going to be doing a video here for another conference here in the next month in December. We're going to be talking about communication skills and how we as developers can work to improve our communication skills and to be better communicators, because it's not just conveying information. It's also understanding. So it's got to go both ways, those communication skills. And like I say, we're not very good at it as an industry, and it's something we really need to put a lot more focus into.
So when you're doing that, when you're implementing with your clients right now in your present role, so how do you define that?
That's a big struggle, is coming up with the right way to convey that information, the right way to help them to understand, you know, where it is that we're coming from, and what it is that the solution will do for them. That is a struggle. It's an ongoing constant struggle back and forth.
So you saw the evolution of the technology in this 20 years, you saw the constant change, and you started after completion of your studies as a developer. Now you reached to a point. So how do you define this change and where we are today?
I think it's just there are so many more things now that make our lives as developers more productive. I don't want to say easier, because development is not easy. It's not something that everybody can do, and it's something that that over time, you know, I would spend, you know, 20 years ago, I'd spend maybe 6 months writing a certain piece of code that, you know, something like AI Copilot all these AI solutions that we have nowadays can help us to do it in, you know, a couple hours, or, you know, Power Automate. You know, there'd be things where I would, I'd spend 3 months writing an interface between two applications so that they can pass information back and forth. And today we've got something like, you know, Data Factory or Power Automate or Logic Apps, things that we can set it up and do it in 2 or 3 days easily, stuff that we'd spend months doing previously. So those kind of improvements are the things where I see a lot of the progress, is things that make us more efficient and make us more productive as developers. You never want to use the word easier, because it's not easier. It's just we're getting more done than we were. And especially, you know, talking about things like AI and Copilot and things like that, there are a lot of people, they talk about these solutions making it easier to replace developers. You know, these technologies are not going to replace developers. There will always be a need for developers, despite what CEOs might want to think. They're always going to need us. They're always going to be a need for us to be around. But these things do make it more productive so that we can focus more on more important things so that we can get more done and be more productive. But, you know, that's the biggest change, I think, is the level of productivity that we are able to accomplish these days.
So Azure is second largest cloud industry in the world. So as an MVP, what do you say about this?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part of that.
As an MVP, how do you define this Azure development, how Azure is providing the services?
I mean, that's the fantastic part about Azure and even all of these cloud solutions, you know, AWS or, you know, Google or whatever it might be, is that, again, it's these tools that are making our lives so much more productive, making our lives so much more successful as developers. You know, they're providing us with tools that we would have to write from scratch 15, 10, even 10 years ago. You know, they're giving us these opportunities to get so much more done, to be so much more productive, to get these systems to communicate with one another, to make it really easy for us to deploy and provide solutions to a bunch of different clients. At the same time, you know, these cloud platforms make it so much simpler, really, for us to be able to spread out these solutions across the world. You know, when I worked for a Citibank, you know, we would put so much focus into our various data centers and how to, you know, come up with these solutions where a system would fail over from one data center to another data center if there was a disaster or something like that. We spent so much focus on that kind of thing and spent so many hours every quarter doing these tests and all this other stuff. And these dedicated cloud platforms like Azure and AWS make that so much easier for us to implement, so that, you know, we can just do it and it's just there. It's automatic. You know, if one data center fails, you know, as long as we've done our job right, it just fails over to the other data center. They've taken so much of that workload off of us as developers and put it onto them as providers that it makes us able to focus a lot more on the product itself and on the solution, and so much less time spent on infrastructure. And I think that's fantastic. Oh, I don't hear you now. I think you're muted.
Yeah, today you are solving the problems as a solutions architect. So what are those experiences making you today to solve the problem and give the great output for the client?
It's really about experience. You know, I've done so many different things. I worked in so many different industries, and I spent so much time you know, working from one solution to another and all these various clients and industries over the years, that it's all that kind of coming together in my brain that I think helps me to be able to come up with these solutions and being able to address the problems that the various clients have. Really, when you get to the architect level, it really is about experience. You know, it's.
So starting from developer, manager, different kinds of roles, and your speaker, you go speak in the conference and you tell about how things work. So collection of all these things. So you know the business side of the technology, and also you know the development side of the technology. So how this works, and you're seeing the present market, the technology market. So how do you define that, knowing all the sides of the technology?
There's always, you know, kind of talking about the market itself, there's always a flow. You know, there will be times when there is a lot of growth. There's times when there, like recently, there's been some contraction. You know, there's been a lot of layoffs recently. And, but I try to look at it from the big picture, you know, because when you look at the past, you know, 5 years, let's just say, yeah, during the past year, there's been a lot of layoffs and, you know, maybe, you know, 2%, 5% of the industry have lost their jobs. But there's been so much more growth in the last 5 years than there has been contraction in the last year. That, you know, it's a net positive overall. And yeah, sure, it's not a great feeling if you're one of those that got laid off, and lost your job. But there's still so much out there. There's still a lot of opportunity. There's always room if you're willing to, maybe change your focus and change your targets and expectations a little bit. There's always room for more people in the industry because, you know, overall, there's still a lot more demand for developers. That, you know, there's just less demand in certain areas than there was, you know, a year ago. But, you know, overall, I think it's still a growth market. It's still an opportunity place for a lot of people to be able to find that right career. Now, maybe it's not the right position that you're hoping for right at this particular moment, but there's still a lot out there for us. And I think there's still a lot of opportunity, like I said. So I think overall it's a constantly growing market, and I think it'll continue to grow even with all these new technologies that people are afraid are going to take our jobs. They're not. You know, they're just going to help us to be more productive, like I say. And yeah, it's the same with any industry, really. There's going to be times when things are better and times when things aren't as great. You just kind of have to flow with it and prepare for it and be ready to go when those changes do come. And be willing to change, really.
So does all the clients or the business owners knows how technology works that you interact with? And how do you explain them the technology solutions that you have?
It depends on the client. I mean, right now, the clients that I'm working with are all fairly technical. At least the people that I work with directly on a day-to-day basis are fairly technical in nature. Over the years, I've worked with a lot of clients that don't have a technology background. And even right now, some of the people that I interact with are from the business side that don't have that technology knowledge. And, you know, they don't understand what a database is. They don't understand what a web app really does in the back end. You know, they see the user interface and they know how to interact with it, but they don't know what it does under the covers. So it's really kind of goes back to that whole being able to communicate things as a developer. You have to be able to take those technical concepts and explain them in a way that's not technical. You have to be able to make that translation from that technical jargon to the non-technical, and being able to be able to explain it in a way that hopefully they can understand better. And that's, like I said, I think it's one of the things that we struggle with as a community, but that's one of the things that I try very hard to come up with ways to translate that knowledge from, change it from that technical nature to a non-technical nature and help them to understand what it is that I'm trying to convey. And, we go, for instance, with one of our clients, we do these demos every couple of weeks, you know, of the things that we've worked on for the last couple of weeks. And sometimes when some of the developers are talking, they'll go into depth about pixels and, you know, what CSS is doing in the background and, you know, what this HTML does and, you know, what this particular function in C# is doing, things like that. And, you know, I kind of cringe. It's like the people that we're talking to during these demos are not technical in nature. They're the business side of the client, and they don't understand these concepts. They don't know what a database does in the back end. They don't know what a SQL query does. You can't use those terminologies when you're talking to a client who's not technical in nature. You have to change it into something that they're going to understand. You have to meet them on their level. And it's a constant struggle, and it's something that hopefully we're getting better at as an industry, but we still have a long way to go.
So for 20 plus years, being extremely logical in this field as a emotional being, how you did that? What worked for you to be a good problem solver?
I think the biggest struggle, especially in my early career, was forcing myself to slow down and step back and say, hey, what is the actual thing I'm trying to accomplish? What is the actual problem I'm trying to solve? far too often, as developers, we kind of just jump right in and start writing lines of code. We think, oh, I know how to fix this, you know, but you don't really know how to fix it until you actually understand what the problem is. So forcing myself to stop, take a breath, you know, step back, say, hey, what is it that I'm actually trying to do here? What is it I'm actually trying to accomplish? What is the need? What's the real need as opposed to the need that I perceive in my 3 seconds of looking at the problem, and trying to jump right in? So that was the biggest struggle early on in changing my mentality from one of just jumping right in and doing something to stepping back and saying, okay, what is it that I need to do as opposed to what is it I immediately think needs to be done? You know, what's the real need? So that was the biggest change, I think.
You worked for different Microsoft products and services. So what do you find exciting in it?
I think for me, the biggest thing that kind of I get interested in is a lot of the newer stuff in Azure and the Power Platform. You know, being able to do this workflow stuff, especially with like Power Automate, with Data Factory, with some of the other stuff that they've come up with, you know, Logic Apps and Azure Functions, and a lot of this quote unquote serverless technologies that they have nowadays, where you can, instead of having to, you know, create this entire solution from top to bottom, you can just focus on the actual little function that does something and being able to not worry about the infrastructure behind it. Those are the kinds of things that I really, really love, especially lately, is being able to take those kinds of things and focus on the actual solution instead of the plumbing, to make it work. So those are the kinds of things that I really love these days.
So 20 valuable years of experience, what do you understood how this technology is helping humanity to solve their problems?
I don't know that too often I think in that big a picture. I try to think more at my, you know, my small little corner of humanity. You know, what am I trying to solve here? What am I trying to do here? But, for instance, right now I'm mainly working with a government client and trying to help them to solve some of the problems that affect people around me in Ohio. And I think, you know, that we're doing a lot of good work there and you know, accomplishing things on a small scale. Because, you know, I find that big solutions are made up of a lot of little solutions. So, you know, I don't try to focus too much on the big, huge picture and just focus on my little corner and say, okay, what can I do here? What can I solve here?
So how do you make things happen with your team?
I mean, it's again, coming back to communication. So, you know, how do you effectively communicate what the need is? And because there's always going to be people that you work with that you don't get along with, that you're going to kind of struggle to have patience with. But I try very hard to find that balance between being able to communicate with them and being able to provide for them, my experience and my knowledge to help them to be successful, because it's a team, you know, it's not a group of individuals. And if they're not successful, you're not successful. So you try to bridge that common ground and find ways to make all of you successful together, because that's the only way that you really succeed.
And what are those qualities that is driving you to be a good technologist?
I think the biggest thing is that drive to solve problems, to help people, to help other people to solve their problems. I don't focus too much on myself. I try to focus on what the problems that other people are having are. And, you know, whether it's teaching or mentoring or working with clients, it's all the same. It's, you know, what this person that I'm talking to, or this group of people that I'm talking to, what are their problems? What can I do to help them? What can I do to help solve their problems? And I think that's what drives me more than anything.
And about time management, how do you manage your time to to draw or to create an architecture for the given solution?
Yeah, that's probably one of my biggest struggles. I'm not great at time management. But I think, some of the things that I do, just making task lists, being able to putting things on my calendar, if I have to block off space on my calendar to say, hey, I need to focus on this particular thing, from 9 to 10 or, from 1 to 3 or whatever it is. So I try to block off time on my calendar to help me both as a reminder that I need to work on something. Because it pops up on my calendar, I see that, I say, oh yeah, I need to fix this, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. But also so that I'm forcing myself to spend that time on it, because I look at my calendar and say, okay, this is what I need to be doing during this time period. So that's the biggest thing, just making efficient use of my calendar, I think, is the biggest thing that helps me. I try to do like task lists as well, but I find that, once I write that list, I kind of set it aside and I don't look at it again. But I find more if I'm putting it on, especially on my calendar, or if I'm putting those reminders in that pop up to help me to stay on track and stay focused. So.
So you did development for a long time, and then you become working for people and working with people. So how you developed those skills?
I think overall it's just a matter of forcing myself to make those little changes over time. I find, okay, if this is what I'm going to be doing now, what do I need to change about myself in order to make that work? Especially when I first, for instance, leadership stuff. I was a manager before I was a retail manager for like 6 years, 7 years before I went back to school and finished my degree. I'd already had experience having people report to me and having people, having to keep people on task and having to keep track of what people are doing and come up with these priorities of what people need to be doing during the time they're working on stuff. So a lot of that stuff I'd already kind of developed in my previous career. I find, once you get into technology, of course, technology is completely different. Well, it's not completely different, but it's in a lot of ways, it's different than retail. But, as a leadership position, dealing with people, that's the same, no matter what kind of industry you're in, cause you still have to have those people skills. You still have to be able to interact with people and communicate well and to set expectations and to kind of help them when they're struggling, things like that, to be successful. And I think that was probably the biggest change for me mentally, going across that time was coming to the realization that it's not just, about me being successful as a leader, that it's the team having to be successful together. And because that's when you're really actually successful as a leader, is when your team is successful. If it's just you being successful and your team's not successful, that's not success. That's not really accomplishing anything. It's only when you as a group, everybody together, is accomplishing things and progressing and getting to higher and higher levels. That's the only way that you could really define success. So that was kind of one of the biggest mental changes for me over the years, coming through that. Going from that, lower level position, so to speak, to a leadership position and making that change mentally for myself.
So what's the best experience in this 20 years?
I think for me, the thing that I enjoyed the most, the thing that I grew from the most was I spent 4 years working for a startup in the education space. Unfortunately, the company went out of business, or I think I'd still be there today. That growth experience, they brought me in to kind of take an application that they had gotten a first version of, and it was all right, and it did the job, but it wasn't something that they could grow with as a company. And so they brought me in to kind of re-architect it, to build up a development team around it, to kind of take that leadership and architecture role to help them as a company grow. And that was by far, I think, the best experience for me, just going in there, you know, because it was a risk, you know, because they were a startup. It was a small company, like 8-9 people when I joined. But I think overall, just what I learned from that, the people that I got to know, the experience of taking something and you know, creating the roadmap, helping it to grow, helping it to become something new, and to keep adding on to it. I think that was a fantastic experience for me. And, you know, and even when it all came crashing down and failed, for reasons that weren't tied to the application, but, even that was a great growth experience. You know, it helped me to learn a great deal about business and how business works and kind of things to watch out for and that kind of stuff. So
how many services you have explored in Azure?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I've looked at a lot of different stuff, but that's the thing about Azure and all these cloud providers. They're always adding new stuff. There's always something new. You know, and as an MVP, I kind of get a sneak peek at some of it. So there's some really cool stuff coming. They're constantly updating, they're constantly upgrading, constantly changing things, constantly adding new things. So you can never know all of it. And I think that's half the fun is there's always so much new stuff to kind of try to at least get a basic understanding of, you know, what it is, what it's trying to do. But yeah, there's always something new to learn there. And I think that's the best part.
So how you look at any problem that you solve?
So I mean, I think the thing is to first stop and, like I say, take a step back and say, okay, what is the actual problem? You know, because a lot of times, especially when you're dealing with a client or, you know, or somebody on the business side, whatever it might be, are they actually explaining to you or providing you with the actual problem? Do they have an understanding of what the actual problem is, or are they explaining it to you correctly? You know, because a lot of times when people try to explain something, they'll leave stuff out, they'll forget about stuff. There'll be aspects that are common to them that they think, oh, well, everybody should just know that. And that kind of gets back to that communication thing is they'll leave stuff out because they just kind of, it's part of their day-to-day job. So they don't really think about it. So you have to kind of stop and do some exploration of the problem itself to make sure that you actually understand what that problem is. And that you have a good definition of what that problem is. And if you can get to that, then you're not wasting your time writing a solution for something that isn't actually the problem. So you can save yourself a lot of time and a lot of headache early on by spending that time to make sure that you really understand what the problem is and making sure that they have given you all the pieces of that.
So there are two persons in you, a developer and a person who understands the business side of the technology. So what is the difference in thinking?
So that's the thing is I don't think that should be two different people. I don't think that should be two different perspectives. That's kind of that's that part where we kind of have to try to meet in the middle and make sure that we all have a good understanding of everything together, that we're reaching that common place in the center. Because you know, like I say, if you don't have that understanding, if you don't have that bridge between the two aspects, between the two sides of things, then you end up wasting a lot of your time because you're doing something that's not going to actually solve the problem. So that's that thing where you kind of have to focus on the communication skills, focus on the understanding and come into that understanding so that you can actually define the problem that needs to be solved.
Do you write blogs?
I try to. So I haven't done a whole lot this year. excuse me. I need to get back and putting some more out there, but I do from time to time. I kind of go in spurts. So
do you want to share anything with my audience, your web links or your website?
Pretty much everything you can find on my personal blog is barrettblake.dev. And I can send you a link to that if you want to post that. That's fine. I have everything that I've done is kind of linked from there. So
I'll put the link in the description also on the screen. People who find our video on YouTube or social media can able to see and can able to learn from you.
Yeah, I also have a YouTube channel, but you can get to it from my blog. So, and there's not a whole lot out there yet, but working on it.
Great. So at last, as a Azure solutions architect, what do you say about my work? Have you seen any videos of mine on YouTube?
I have watched. I have had a chance to watch a few of your videos. I think one thing is really impressive is the diversity of people that you have talked to over the years. I just so many different people from so many different backgrounds and so many different topics. It's just, I think that's absolutely amazing that you've had such a variety of people that you know you're not just focused on the tech. You're focused on everything. You're trying to get that diversity out there and talk to a bunch of different people. And I definitely plan to watch a few more of the videos when I get time. But yeah, it's very, very impressive collection of people that you've had a chance to talk to. And I'm glad that you thought that I would be at least a little bit valuable as to be a part of that. So.
Yeah, it's extremely valuable. And I also interviewed a vice president of Amazon Web Services.
Oh, that one I have not seen. I'll have to get a chance to watch that. So.
A lot of AWS experts and also a lot of Azure experts, also from Netflix, also from different technology companies from different parts of the world.
Yeah, I have got, like I said, I've gotten to a few of them, but I definitely plan to keep watching some.
So one last thing, what is your observation? I have done master's in software engineering, also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. Right now I'm doing some DevOps engineering projects for a UK company. So apart from that, that is my full-time job. Apart from that, I'm interviewing experts like you who are already in the technology industry and who are into different parts of the world. Me trying to know how you people are solving problems and how you have experienced things and how you made things possible. Me trying to understand by asking these questions with this who are from completely different places. What I'm going to learn and how this knowledge is going to be helpful for me in my career.
Yeah, I think it's like I say, it's a fantastic group of people, and I think it's impressive that you've put that focus on trying to get such a great group of people and to talk to people. I try to focus myself on when I speak into people, a lot of times I'm doing a lot of mentoring stuff with people who are just trying to get into technology, and that's where I try to put more of my focus at. But it's a very impressive group, and I think it's fantastic what you're doing. So.
Can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Also, can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
Yeah, sure thing. Yeah, so just appreciate you sending me links to it so I can link to it as well when you get it posted.
Yeah, definitely. I'll put on my website all the links and share you. I hope it reaches to many people, and hope your knowledge and your work will help a lot of people to learn something from you.
Well, you know, that kind of the attitude I take is if I've helped even just one person, that's all that matters. That's enough for me. So
definitely it helps. Thank you very much again for your valuable time.
Yeah, not a problem. Have a good morning, or I guess it's evening for you. So
yeah, good evening. Yeah, take care.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.